Hello, everybody. This week's Parsha podcast is being dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Manish Yitzchak ben Aryeh, the Shamash Haven Aliyah. The Parsha is Parsha's Pekudei, and the Parsha begins with the Pasuk, Ele Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the reckonings, the accountings of the Mishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, the Mishkan of Testimony. And Rashi asks the obvious question, why does the Torah repeat the word Mishkan twice? And Rashi says this is an allusion. This is a hint to the fact that we had two Mishkans, two dwelling places of Hashem, which were taken from us, the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon and the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni, the first temple and the second temple. They were taken from us, and the Torah is alluding to that by calling it a Mishkan, because a Mishkan, although usually meaning a tabernacle, can be pronounced as a Mashkon. A Mashkon means collateral, and the temples were taken from the Jewish people as a collateral, as a payment of a debt. The debt that they created was through their sins, says Rashi, the Avay Nisei and the sins of the Jewish people, and the Mishkan and the Batei Mikdash were taken as a Mashkon, taken as collateral to pay for that debt. And Das Torah, Rabbi Yochav explains that what Rashi's teaching us here is as follows. A person, the Jewish people, they're given the gift of life, they're given opportunity in life, and a person's supposed to use that for the right things. A person's supposed to use that to do mitzvahs, to learn Torah, to make a Kiddush Hashem. And if instead, God forbid, a person uses life and opportunity to do sins and to do averus, what he does is he begins to incur a debt. He was given something to use it for a purpose, and instead he's using it for personal pleasure for doing the wrong things, and that incurs a chayv, it incurs a debt. And the collateral that a person has to pay for such a debt are his good deeds, are his mitzvahs, are his things that he acquired in Ruchnius. And that is what the Mishkan served for Jewish people. Jewish people sinned, and they sinned heavily throughout the first temple and second temple. And what redeemed them ultimately, what paid their debt for them, was their Beis HaMikdash. And the truth is, a person has to kind of think of this in a positive way as well. A person goes through life and he has opportunities to do mitzvahs. He has to realize every time he does a mitzvah, he's gaining assets. He's gaining something which can pay off his debts. It's something which can redeem him. A schus, a merit, can be something that protects a person. And a person has to view life through that lens. I heard a story recently from Gavriel Friedman. There was once a fellow, a guy, he was living in New York, and he went to go meet up with a friend of his in the summer. A lot of people from the city, they go up to the bungalow colonies in New York. And he went to go meet up with a friend of his by a different bungalow colony. And they kind of both drove up to a certain bungalow colony. They met there. They hung out. And they both eventually, you know, the meeting was over. They had to go home. So they're driving out of the bungalow colony. And the first guy, let's call him Reuven, he's driving out. And he sees a guy waiting there trying to hitch a ride. There's a fellow. He's looked like a mashulach, somebody coming to collect money from Eretz Yisrael. And, you know, he wanted to stop, but it was really very late, and he was thinking of stopping, but by the time he already saw the guy, he was already driving too fast, and he ended up going and not stopping for the guy. And he looked in the rearview mirror, kind of thinking maybe he should go back, and he saw that his friend, who he had been meeting before Shimon, picked up this guy and took him for a ride. So, okay, good, Baruch Hashem. Someone else gave him a ride, and Reuben continued onward. Meanwhile, Shimon is giving his fellow a ride, and they're schmoozing, and the guy tells him how he came from to America to collect money for it to pay for his daughter's wedding. And as they're driving, Shimon noticed that this mashulach, this person who came to collect money, he starts looking very ill, and his face turns white, and he asks him, are you okay? And the guy says, I have a pain in my left side. Ultimately, Shimon realizes the guy's experiencing a heart attack. So he quickly calls Hatzala, they meet up, he gets the guy to the hospital, and Baruch Hashem managed to save this fellow's life. So Shimon's sitting there, he waits with this guy at the hospital the whole time. Finally, after the procedure, the guy comes out, the guy's wheeled out, he, you know, Baruch Hashem, he made it. So Shimon comes to the room and he tells you, no, Baruch Hashem, you made it. You know, it's a real miracle. We caught it just in time. And the guy is sitting there saying, thank you so much. And the guy starts to cry. His mashulach starts to cry. So Shimon looks at him and says, why are you crying? Baruch Hashem, you're going to be fine. We saved you. We caught it in time. He's like, yes, thank you so much. But I still have to marry off my daughter, and I have to be back here in Israel in a couple of weeks for the wedding. And now that I'm incapacitated, I have to recover. I have no way to go around and raise this money. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he begins to cry again. Now Shimon's getting nervous. He's like, I can't deal with another heart attack right now. This guy's going to die on me. I can't. He's like, calm down. Don't worry. We're going to take care of it. Shimon goes out and he starts calling some friends of his. He gets some people involved and he tells them the situation. And Shimon manages to raise $20,000 for this fellow. He comes back and he tells his mashulach, he raises the money. Baruch Hashem, the guy is so happy. And that's the end of the story so far. So there was a Rav who was told this story by, not Shimon, but by Reuven, the first guy who didn't pick up the mashulach. And he's telling him this story about his friend Shimon, how he did this amazing story. And the Rav is saying, wow, such a beautiful story. Thank you so much for telling me this story of chesed. And it's amazing what your friend Shimon has done. And this person, Reuven, looks at the Rav and says, Rav, you're not understanding the story. You're not getting the point. What do you mean, says the Rav? What didn't I get? Reuven said, you know what you realize, Rebbe? It could have been me. I was this close. I could have been the one who picked up a guy, gave him a ride, saved his life, and then help raise money to marry up his daughter. I could have been Shimon. I could have been that guy. It's just that I didn't stop to pick up that person who needed a ride. And now I missed out. And that's the way people are supposed to look at life. And that's the way people are supposed to see opportunities in life to do mitzvahs. It's a way to make money in the bank. Rabbis say, every time you pass a mitzvah, every time you pass an opportunity to do something good, let's think, this is my chance to build something up. This is my chance to gain something. And who knows what these mitzvahs and what these merits can do for me in the future. The parasha continues and says, Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur, Lamati Yehuda, Betzalel from the Shevet of Yehuda. Also, he did as Kol Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. He did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe. Betzalel was the one in charge of the building of the Mishkan, and he did everything just as Hashem commanded Moshe. And Rashi points out that the pasuk is a little strange. The pasuk should say technically as Kol Asher Tziva Moshe Isai, everything that Moshe commanded him. He's the one working for Moshe. So why does it say that he did everything that Hashem commanded Moshe? So Rashi explains as follows. Rashi brings a Gemara, a well-known Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Hey, and the Gemara tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Betzalel to build the Mishkan, he told them to first build all the vessels of the Mishkan, all the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and all the Kelim of the Mishkan, and then to build the beams, the Krushim, the Adonim, everything around it. And Betzalel said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, with all due respect, but generally speaking, when you build something, you don't build the furniture for a home before you build a home. First you build a home, then you have a place to put all the furniture in. So shouldn't I be building first the Mishkan, and then the Aron, the Meshulchan and Menorah? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right, that's what Hashem told me, Betzel Kel Hayisa, your name is Betzalel because it alludes to the fact that you were Betzel in the shadow of Kel of Hashem. That means that you are able to recognize and understand what Hashem wants. And the Gemara is very cryptic, because what happened? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu say one way, then Betzalel tells him the other way, and he's like, oh, you're right, that's what Hashem said. And the truth be told is that, if you look at Rashi there, Rashi explains that really, in the Torah, it happens to be, it appears both ways. In Parshas Truma, when Hashem commands the Jewish people to build the Mishkan, he first tells them, build the Aron, build the Shulchan, build the Menorah, etc. In Parshas Kisisa, it does say to first build the Mishkan and then build the Kelim. So why is it that way? What are these two directions? And what was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? So the Vilna Gaon, and the truth is, the same thing is brought in the Pirush HaGaonim on the Ein Yaakov, in a little bit longer. He says like this. He says that in life, there's really two different aspects to every construction project. You have the concept. You have the thing that you want this building or this place to service. When you're building a Mishkan, the goal is to have a place where the Shekhinah rests amongst the Jewish people. Where did that happen? Ultimately, that happened in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, on top of the Aron, on top of the Ark, where the Luchos were. That's where the Shekhinah rested, on that Kapayis between the two Kruvim. And that was the goal of the Mishkan. So in concept, you say, look, I need to build a place for Shekhinah, so I need to have an Aron, and I need to have a way for that Shefa, for all that goodness, to spread out and come out in different forms, so I have a Shulchan, and I have a Menorah, and have Mizbeach Hazav, and then I build around and around and around it everything that's necessary to make the Aron a functioning system. But the viewpoint is first on the Aron, because that's the goal of the entire project. In practice, if you want to make an Aron, you have to have a place to put it in to keep it safe. So then you start by building the Mishkan and building everything around it that's necessary to ultimately put the Aron inside. But there's two different points here. The goal and the practical way to reach that goal. And that's how the Torah looks at life. Bereishis, when Hashem creates the world, says Rashi right away, Bereishis, Bishvil Reishis, on behalf of Reishis. There's a purpose to creation. What's that purpose? Reishis. What's Reishis, says Rashi? Because of Klal Yisrael, it's called Reishis. Because of a Torah, it's called Reishis. Etc., etc., etc. And everything we do in life, we have to always have that in mind. We wake up in the morning, what do we want to get out of our day? How is this day going to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And then we begin to take the practical steps that will get us there. But the concept always has to be clear to us before we begin. The Parsha continues describing how they created all the different things and parts that are necessary for the building of the Mishkan. And at the end of every piece, it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Just like Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. The Baal Turim points out that it says, Tziva Hashem is Moshe, that Hashem commanded Moshe a total of 18 times. And Yerushalmi learns out from here, and the Medrash Tanchuma points us out, that this is one of the sources for when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when they created our Tefillah Shemoneh Esrei, how they understood to make 18 brachas. Because they understood from this parsha that there's an idea here of 18 Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. Now, the Beis HaLevi explains, why is it so important in this parsha to constantly say, like Hashem commanded Moshe? And the Beis HaLevi in Parsha Kisisa says, that we all know that the Mishkan Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, is a tikkun. It's kind of the repairing, the fixing and getting Klal Yisrael back after the Chet HaEgel. And that's why the Mishkan is known as Mishkan HaEdus, Mishkan of Testimony, because it testifies that Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their relationship is back and everything is back. And if you look in the Rishonim, look in the commentaries on the Chet HaEgel of the Rishonim, they explain that the Jewish people's mistake, they didn't want an all-out Avodah Zarah. They didn't want to go out and all-out do idol worship. They Moshe Rabbeinu was gone, and they wanted a way to connect to Hashem. So they created an eagle, an image, which is something that they saw on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, on God's Merkava, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chariot. They saw this symbol of an ox, whatever it represents, and they tried to use that as a mechanism to connect to Hashem. So what's wrong? If they're trying to get closer to Hashem, what's the issue? So basically, Levi explains that there's a very important point, that a person can feel and a person can even assume or think that this thing, this method, is going to bring me closer to Hashem. If I go off to a mountain somewhere in Tibet and I do A, B, C, D, I feel like that's going to bring me a lot closer to God. That's going to give me the spiritual high that I need. Sitting and opening a Gemara with complicated text and discussing if one cow gores another cow, I don't understand how that's going to make me closer to Hashem. So I go off and I do what I think and I feel is going to get me closer. And I ignore the fact that there's a system here, that there's realities in spiritual worlds that will make things happen one way or another. And I'd start to choose my own way to connect to Hashem. That's a very, very slippery slope. It's a very, very risky idea. And ultimately, it almost always leads to Avodah Zarah, to serving idols, in the sense that we don't serve Hashem, we end up serving another entity instead. And that's why, says the Beis HaLevi, that every single step of the Mishkan building had to be exactly Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, exactly as Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. Because that was the whole point. The point was a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the best way to connect to Him. And if we listen to Him, we're in good hands. And that's what building the Mishkan had to represent. It had to represent a repairing of that mistake, of recognizing that the only thing that's going to bring me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is following His mitzvahs, Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. So I'll end off with one last part. It says, Parak Lamed Tes, Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayar Moshe es kol hamelacha. Moshe Rabbeinu saw all the work, all everything that had been done. Vehine, and behold, Asu Oysa Kasher Tziva Hashem. They did it exactly as Hashem commanded. And the author of Kelm asks, what's this language of Vehine, and behold? It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu was surprised. Vehine, wow, what's the wow? They did what they're supposed to do. Says the author of Kelm, the Ramban tells us that the fact that the Jewish people, a group of people who had literally a year ago been slaves in Egypt, people who literally knew nothing but laying bricks and picking straw, can go and become craftsmen and build the intricate designs and the things that were necessary in the building of the Mishkan and the creating of the Big Day Kahuna. And not just that, but people to be able to build something which has such spiritual significance that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shekhinah is going to rest here on this world in it. It's something which is not logical. It doesn't make any sense. There's no way really they can know how they're doing it. The Ramban tells us that it must have been a nes. It was a miracle. But how did that nes begin? And the Pasuk tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu came and they said, anybody who is Nediva slave and Nesiya slave. Two different things. Nediva slave is Lashon of Nediva, means to give. A giving heart. Those are people who donated to the Mishkan. Then there's people who were that their lave was Nesiya slave. That they raised up their heart. Nasan Liban. Their heart was raised up. What does that mean, says the Ramban? That means that these were people who, they also didn't know how to build with gold. They didn't know how to build with silver. But they understood that there was a need, there was an opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to put his Shekhinah down in this world if we build him a place. And they said, I'm going to do it. They dreamed big and they went big. Says Rabbi Ruchim in Das Torah, in life, there is no more important factor, there's no more defining trait between those who make it big in life and those who don't. It's not based on their talents necessarily. It's not based on their intelligence. It's based on the midah, on this character trait of nesiyas lev, of being able to raise up your heart to say, I'm going to go big. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go far. And if a person has that, if a person manages to work on himself and to raise himself up, that here's what can be done. Here's what I want to do. I'm going to do it. And he's nasan libay. He can do things that Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he's shocked. How could they do this? How did it happen? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it happen. We just have to do our part. And that is being Nasan Liban, raising up our hearts and going for big. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos.